Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the Prodigal Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show Self-Expression, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. Welcome and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining in to tonight's program. Before we get started, let me just take care of some formalities. We're broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio, and that's blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. So you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. If you want to call in, the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And if you are a Metro or T-Mobile customer, phone number to call in is 323-870-4174. The reason why I'm giving out two numbers just real briefly is just because for our T-Mobile and Metro customers, sometimes we're experiencing a little message to say that you're going to get charged 1 cent per minute. And to avoid that, you can call the 323-870-4174 number, and that way we can get rid of the inconveniences. And like I said, we're working to improve our regular call-in phone number, but for the time being, you can call into that number. I will announce those numbers later on in the program. And just let you get started, tonight's topic is the home invasion. And we're going to talk about the home invasion, and we're going to talk about it in two different versions. And basically, we're covering Psalms 11:3, and we're also covering 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 through 21. And, you know, we bless God for, you know, bringing forth the message. So, you know, one of the things, you know, basically, we tend to forget is that, you know, Jesus, he gives us instructions, he gives us information, he gives us, you know, tools to fight a lot of things. And one of the things that Jesus said was, you can survive this if you do what I say. And that's basically, you know, one of the basic instructions, you know, please do what I say, you know, and, you know, things that, you know, if you want to really truly survive in life, you know, and then we need to just do no further than look to one who actually saves life. Lives, which is Jesus, you know, tonight. So let's take a look at home invasions. You know, one place most people feel safe is they feel safe in their home. But, you know, just to give you a statistic, you know, 8,000 homes are invaded by intruders every day in America. And that's just America alone. And, you know, as far as what is technically, you know, counted as a home invasion, you know, we're just going to go with that number right there, you know, and almost, you know, all of the news reports that you hear, you know, there's always a news anchor commenting. And basically what he's saying is, you know, when people are when you're actually in your home and you're actually having an intruder basically come in your home, basically a news reporter says, you know, if you think something's happening, you know, it's best for you to overreact and, you know, call the police. And then, you know, once everything's all said and done, when you find out what's actually happened, you can apologize later. But one of the things is, you know, you don't want to do is you don't want to underestimate, you know, the situation. And, you know, basically I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, all throughout the news, one of the most, you know, horrifying thing is a home invasion. And like I said, you're most comfortable in your home. So, you know, we're going to go into some basics about home invasions. And like I said, we're going to talk about three different versions of home, your home being invaded. And basically, you know, when we talk about home invasions, we're thinking about a robber or someone's coming in, you know, to take something. But your home invasion happens in many different ways. And basically, when we go over 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 through 21, we're going to talk about one of the most, one of the first home invasions to happen and recorded here in the Bible. So with that being said, let's just go on and we're just going to talk about, you know, some of the versions of, you know, home invasions. And like I said, you know, our home being invaded, we just basically feel as though it's something physically happening. But, you know, today we just want to basically go over the fundamental foundations of some of the things that are the basis in the Bible that where how you can actually, where it's instructed where you can keep a safe, secure home and keep it from being under attack. And, you know, basically, you know, the home intruders I'm speaking of right now, I'm talking about the demonic, you know, satanic, you know, demons that can run rampant, you know, basically destroy what is precious to us. And believe it or not, it's precious to God also. You know, so with the message I'm sending you is basically is survival. And, you know, Jesus says you can survive this disaster if you do what I say. You know, the first thing we need to determine is where the actual, how the intruders are coming into our home. You know, I know they say in the movies, like, you know, you can, well, all right, let me just backtrack real quick. You know, I know a lot of the things that we base our, you know, we base our home security. Insecurities are some of the things that we have learned, you know, that we've seen in our childhood, like, you know, basically off of movies. And one of the movies that I'll tell you, well, actually, there's probably three movies, and this is when I was under the age of 12, that actually scared me. The first one was Jaws. The other one was American Werewolf in London. And, you know, the third one was The Exorcist. And even though most of the things that we learn in the movies have no basis in real life, you know, sometimes it would affect me, even though, like I said, as I was a child, you know, and I was thinking about going into a swimming pool, which is totally cut off from the ocean. And, you know, like I said, that movie scared every kind of, you know, awareness in me about water, you know, and when we have an awareness of danger and things like that. And like I said, when you see that, when I seen that movie Jaws and I would go near water, I was afraid. And that's, you know, that's just a natural instinct. And sometimes we get away from natural instincts once we get confident, you know, and sometimes, you know, as you know, like I said, during my later years, you know, as I started going to the ocean and I started going to beaches and stuff like that. And, you know, there were, it was in my mind that, you know what, it's safe, but, you know what, it's safe somewhat to a point. You know, there are different places where you can go at, you know, like Rehoboth Beach, and this is around the Philadelphia area, where, you know, there could be instances where sharks do wander around certain beaches. But, you know, for the most part, you know, once I got over that fear, you know, there was that overconfidence where as though I was thinking that, you know, I'm safe and, you know, a shark can't get me. And it's the same thing that we, you know, that we have to deal with our homes. And, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, certain things in our homes, sometimes we have to make sure that we maintain that amount of security that we have to maintain. And, you know, once, you know, someone's been, you know, burglarized, their house has been burglarized, that's still a home invasion that is considered, you know, a home invasion. You want to know how they came in. You know, basically, we have a practice of, you know, being self-conscious of being secure in certain areas. Like, sometimes we may have a second floor window where we may leave open and say, hey, we don't need to shut it, even if we're, you know, we're going out and we're locking the doors and all that, and we have the burglar alarm set. Or sometimes we just say, hey, you know what, we got informative neighbors that watch out for everything. But sometimes just leaving or practicing leaving that one thing that you say, well, no one can get up here, no one's going to climb up here, will be that instance that one person does. And, you know, even if we do secure our houses, our doors, our windows, you know, make sure we have the, you know, basement door secure, you know, there are open doors like the internet in our homes. Are we aware of what, you know, is going on with the internet in our homes? You know, the internet basically is a window of, you know, it goes into a lot of experience and a lot of expansion. But once it's in your house, if you're not monitoring what's going on in your house, and one of the things that I've seen, and this has been a worldwide image that I've been seeing, when you see someone in Tokyo, Japan, whether it's Beijing, China, whether it's London, England, or Paris, France, or even, you know, other countries where you see people walking about and they're on their mobile devices, they're on their tablets, and they're walking. You know, it reminds me of a show called The Walking Dead, where people are walking like zombies, and it seems like, you know, it's the same thing. They're walking around like zombies. You know, we had everybody had this notion that, you know, one of the most attention grabbers that is really messing with our country, and this is less than 20 years ago, which was television. And so now that the invention of television, and now that we have cell phones, you know, TVs, well, television is not the primary, no longer the primary focus of, we had to get people off the couches. We had to get them to stop watching television. Well, now they're off the couches and they're not watching television. But now they found another way in, which is, you know, like I say, you know, we left a back door open, which was through the mobile devices. So now it seems like, you know, that this is another demonic influence that has, you know, broken in not only to our homes, but also to our everyday functioning lives, our homes, our work, and also to, you know, where we actually communicate with other people. And basically this is covered in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15. And right now this is going to be the NLT version. That's the only Bible I have at hand with me right now. So these people are false apostles. They have fooled you by disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder his servants can also do it by pretending to be godly ministers. In the end, they will get every bit of punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Making you believe what is bad is good, you know, and we can go, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, basically cheating, lying, adultery, pornography, homosexuality. You know, basically, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from what we believe. They will follow lying spirits and teaching that come from demons. These teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be religious, but their conscience are dead. You know, basically, you know, with what is going on and how the internet is formed and how it's basically deceiving everyone, and, you know, it's creating a bunch of false prophets that seem to pop up, you know, and certain forms of what they call ministry or their interpretation of ministry, where they're starting to create a following. And that's where we have to watch out for, because of, you know, anyone that has a certain amount of charisma, and, you know, they can just get on the internet, they can start blasting and blabbering about, you know, what they think and what they feel. But, you know, we have, you know, what is called a Bible. We have something we can back up with a read. We know full well that these are false prophets, you know, and the ones that, you know, that do try to comment and commend, it seems like the more that they comment on it and let them know that you're teaching false teachings of the Bible, that you're, you know, creating false prophecy, those are the ones that seem to get more ridiculed than the actual ones. And they even point out and say, hey, this is what the Bible says and this is what you're saying. You are, you know, you're really misinterpreting it. And in one instance, I've seen one that was, you know, arguing with a guy that was claiming that he was a prophet. That he said that, you know, in the Bible it says that if you add on or take away, you should be condemned. And, you know, with that, you know, the guy just laughed him off, you know, for, you know, basically what we need to do is, you know, even though, you know, we have tall grasses, and, you know, that, you know, once you cut the grass, there's going to be snakes. basically what we have to do is we have to be well aware. We have to be informed. You know, we have to form our defenses. You know, we have to basically, you know, we do know our Bible, but we just can't let anybody with false words, you know, that, you know, try to, you know, plant seeds in our head that, okay, this seems more comfortable to me, whereas though, you know, what they're saying and what it seems like what they're teaching seems to be better fitted to me, but, you know, that's not so. And, you know, and that's not the word of what we read in our Bible. And a lot of times, you know, when it comes to people that want to interpret, you know, what they read in the Bible, that's understandable. When they interpret and include those into their words, that's when we definitely run into trouble, and that's where false prophets come into creation. And those false prophets, and like I said, they constantly are, they don't have to start out a ministry. They can start out with talking about here. They can start out talking about something. But once they start getting the following and they start adding on different things and comments, you know, we tend to think that, you know, whatever they say is the truth. Like, I know a lot of people that believe that whatever they read or see on the internet is true. And there's no fact-checking when it comes to the internet. But, you know, in the days and eras where I came from, you know, news medias were accountable no matter where they reported from, whether it was the Daily News, it was the Tribune, you know, our very own, you know, here in Philadelphia, Daily News and the Inquirer, not the National Inquirer, the Philadelphia Inquirer, they have won Pulitzer Prizes for their news pieces. And you don't win Pulitzer Prizes multiple times, you know, for false reporting or an inaccurate reporting or just reporting on your views. And, you know, that's, you know, I know a couple of weeks ago they had, you know, let's talk about it. And they said, let's take this back. But, you know, what we need to take back is, you know, our really, our true belief in far as where our news media sources come from. We have to make sure we do the fact checking. You know, it's not, Facebook is not going to fact check, or neither Instagram or anywhere else, or even Twitter. You know, once somebody put it out there, you know, it seems that that's what they believe to be the truth. The truth of the matter is that, you know, more and more with all this technology that we have, and more we bury ourselves, we have to do the most fact checking as far as what's actually coming out of and from the internet. But that's where our main sources seem to come from. And like I said, so they, you know, so we're saying, you know, like I said, about 15 to 20 years ago, we're saying, let's get these people off the couches. Let's get these people, you know, out and about. You know, they're becoming couch potatoes. And now they've come from couch potatoes to the walking dead. Because with their face buried constantly and whatever is going on, and I don't know if people understand what that we, when you're on the internet, on your phone, there, as there was with television, there are product placements still going on. There's subliminal messages still going on. No matter what you think, that like you're doing something simultaneously, you know, something is going to pop up. And it's not going to be a big blog where you had to, you know, you, like, you know, back in the first times of the internet where, you know, you had to get your pop-up blocker or you had to click this little box underneath or whatever. But just a little icon, a little symbol, something like far as product identification, that is enough to keep supplanting into your brain. And it's still subliminal. So just because we're not looking at TV, don't forget that we're not susceptible to subliminal information, in which we are, you know, constantly, you know, as we're on our phones, you know, our phones or our tablets. There are constant subliminal messages, constant small icons popping up. You just don't realize that you're seeing them. And it's always, you know, it's been the same, you know, and just, you know, as well, you know, this is not just something that, you know, we can say, well, I have to take responsibility. No, it's just like everything. You take it in admiration, you know, a whole lot of something is not good. And the way that everything is set up and the way the internet is set up, the way they have Facebook, they have Instagram, they have Twitter, the way it's set up is for you to constantly continue jumping from one to another to another to another. Whereas though you're constantly continually forming a bond with this technology. And real quickly, this is the show Self-Expressions, and we're on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to call in, phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. Also, if you're a T-Mobile or a Metro customer, you can call in the 323-870-4174. And anytime, you can press 1 to enter in the conversation tonight. And, you know, as I was saying, as far as the technology and how it seems to regress us and how it seems to be more informative, is just, you know, as they say, we want to get people off the couch. Then now that they're active and motive, now they're more like, you know, like I said, walk, you know, the Walking Dead. We're walking around, you know, in cell phones. This is not just something that's going on here in the United States. It's going on worldwide. You know, if you look at, you know, every time, you know, if you actually trying to call someone, next thing you know, they're lifting their head up from their phone and saying yes. And as soon as they feel as though the instant that you're finished saying whatever you wanted to say, or you're just even just to say something to someone like good morning, and they'll say good morning back and go and dive their head instantly right back into their phone. This is the type of, you know, small invasions that we had in our home. And now, like I said, that once they found a way in, they found a way in, which is with these cell phones and tablets. With the cell phones and tablets, you know, I can guarantee you, we can go back to, let's just say, the year 2000, and where you would ask, you know, someone, can you give me the phone numbers of 5 of your best friends? You know, and they can probably, you know, jot off those numbers. Right now today, if you can ask, you know, if you ask someone, you know, what is 5 of your best friend's phone number? And they say, oh, wait a minute, let me see. And they would have to go into their contact list to actually pull up their phone numbers. And, you know, don't they think that that's their regression of, you know, the use of constant exercise of brain power? You know, they say that we only use 10% of our brain power, but right now I wonder if we even use the 5% now, the way we're actually relying on technology. You know, it used to be someone would just pick up an encyclopedia if you ask them a question, like, what's the capital of Zaire? And someone says, hey, Alexa, what's the capital of Zaire? Or, hey, Google, or, hey, Siri, what's the capital of Zaire? And they get the answer. We used to research, you know, we used to actually look it up. And now, you know, at the tap of a button, instead of even thinking or even, you know, knowing, you know, usually we would, you know, our social study teachers in high school, when they would teach you on a topic of a country or a certain culture, they actually visited there. They actually visited some of the cultures, you know, not all of what they taught, but the ones they did, they had general firsthand information. Right now, that is probably rarely seen. You know, every social study teacher right now is probably one that have read a textbook or just personally went on Google Maps and just looked at the area where they're teaching. You know, we have a general lack of knowledge and knowledge building, you know, because of the technology that we have in hand. You know, I used to think there was a good idea where the school district was trying to have every student have a laptop. But now I'm having second thoughts now. And, you know, with more and more convenience, you know, we do have options of, you know, turning off internet, restricting websites. But we as parents, we're still not even doing that. You know, there's a big failure, and this is a big part of the invasion that's happening in our homes, where we have at our fingertips. It's the same thing as locking the door, locking the back door, shutting the window and making sure it's locked. You know, by us not, you know, using the available resources that we have to protect ourselves, to protect our children. You know, we also, you know, even if we don't have the ability to turn off the internet, we do have the ability to say, stay off the internet, or you're not allowed on the internet from a certain time. You know, there was a time where family time was valuable, but now, you know, if you have a child with a tablet or cell phone, eating dinner at a table is impossible. Or eating dinner together is all too different. Too different now, whereas though, you know, there used to be rules where I know that, you know, either my father or my mother, if they were serving dinner, they wouldn't have a cell phone or a tablet anywhere near the dinner table. Let alone let a phone call comes in. You know, the thing that we used to do when we were eating dinner was if the phone rang, it rang. Whoever it was, if it was important, they'll call back. And once we finished eating, no matter how many times they call back, then You know, we didn't have any caller ID, you know, and we didn't even have an answering machine for that matter. But, you know, somebody called at the time that we were at dinner, having dinner, you know, they would just have to wait till we were finished eating dinner. But now you have, you can't even go to the bathroom without somebody expecting you to, you know, pick up your cell phone when it's ringing. You know, the first thing they probably say is if you decide to, you know, do your business and then come answer the phone, like, where were you at? What were you doing? I was in the bathroom. Oh, you couldn't answer the phone. Really. You know, that's where it's come from in technology. And that's where, you know, like I said, when a lot of people want to just analyze, and sometimes they underanalyze of what's going on in their home, and they say, you know, if such and such happened, or someone goes to the store and they steal, or something like that, don't you know there is videos on the internet right now that young children have access to their tablet or phone, where there's a dumb guy just saying, go to Walmart at 3 o'clock in the morning, grab what you want, and walk out. They're not allowed to stop you or tackle you or detain you because it's against the law. And information like that is just, you know, it's just plain for, it's just maliciously plain, you know, information to, you know, distract us into doing something that we're not supposed to. But, you know, yet religiously, we constantly look at these videos. You know, we're looking at these videos like it's a, you know, we're doing this for, you know, information purposes, or, oh, we just want to know what happens at the end. But the bottom line is that we're still watching, we're still retaining it, and then we're also telling people about it, where they get a chance to go back and they look at it. You know, one of the most powerful things that we can do is we can basically judge and view things, but we don't have to basically, like, being reporters, report it, because just because what we see, we don't. And, you know, one of the things that we have to understand that when we are trying to, you know, get our house fortified, you know, we have to stop sacrificing, like, the most precious things in order to live, you know, what we think, you know, a easy, pleasurable life and home. And so, yes, you know, having internet access all over the house, that's fine. And sometimes, you know, it is rightly suited where, you know, it's, you know, basically it's an, you know, easy access for you to have, whereas you don't have to go into one spot where you, you know, in the old days where you had to, you know, plug it into the wall and plug it into your computer, and then you had that one access point. But right now, it's like the way, you know, the internet is set up. It's set up for it to be widely used for the whole entire household at the same time. Some internet services have where, you know, 20 individuals or 10 to 20 can access the internet at one time without any interruptions or any slowdowns and stuff like that. And, you know, you're thinking, is this really a convenience where your whole entire household is going to be busy? I like it the old days where just one at a time, where, you know, once I was finished with the computer, you know, you could go ahead and use it. And, you know, it seemed to be, you know, so time consuming. It seemed to be where as though it was more personal, more personal experience where, you know, everyone basically had to share. And, you know, basically when we have disruptions in our house through home invasions, through demonic influences, you know, we have to make sure that there's someone there to stand in the gap. You know, we need to have someone that's willing to there to be the block the enemy from coming in. And, you know, I remember in the military, it was, you know, we had this maneuver where we would try to distract someone, and it was called the L maneuver. And it's simply one person is going to be distracting while, you know, everybody else attacks. And the one defensive maneuver I believe we should have in the house is someone constantly prays. And basically, with the, you know, with that constant prayer, it lets them know. And basically, you know, when God is in the presence, you know, Satan must flee. There's no doubt about it. You know, with that, you know, he has to flee. And that's one of the best, you know, best defenses that we should have is someone who's always, make sure there's always someone that's always praying in the household, praying over the household. You know, and a lot of people, when they get, you know, new homes, you know, they get their pastor or their bishop or someone to come and bless their house. Just because that house was blessed once doesn't mean that, you know, it can, your house always can take a blessing, just like you. You know, you can always receive a blessing. So, you know, don't forget that just because you already had your house blessed. It's just like being baptized. It's like just because you were baptized once does not mean you don't, you know, if you feel a need, get baptized again. And, you know, one of the best things is, don't forget, you know, you got your defenses set up. Don't forget you should have, you know, an offense set up. You know, don't forget, you know, we're constantly being under attack. And don't forget, you know, while the enemy is distracted, you have to strike too. You know, go at him with, you know, with all you got. You know, basically in Matthew 16, verse 18, and this upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the picture of the believer moving forward, you know, pressing onward, because, you know, the knowledge of Jesus is he's the Christ. And all the demonic forces, Satan himself, are no match for Jesus, and he is your, you know, basically he's yours. And guess what? If he's in your corner, who can be against you? You know, that's the bottom line. You know, you got to have him in your corner. And, you know, and you got to definitely believe that he is in your corner. Because, you know, having that faith and backing up that faith, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, we have to make sure that we demonstrate that. You know, we can't also be the same ones that once we kick everybody off their phones and their tablets, then we turn around and sit and we're on them. You know, we have to make sure that if we do establish something, it's something that we all can, you know, we can all come to the conclusion that this is best for all of us and this is what we all want to follow. If we're not going to, you know, if we're not going to be on our tablets from, you know, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever the rules is going to be established, we have to make sure that that is what it is. You know, if we're not going to be on social media, you know, no matter, either going to be no matter what, or there will be certain emergencies or there'll be certain instances. But for that matter, if you want to be taking the lead on that, just make sure that you follow along. You have to practice what you preach. And that's not always a good thing. It's not always an easy thing. I mean, as far as practicing what you preach. And let me go into, real briefly, we're going to go ahead and hop into 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 12 through 21. And basically, in a nutshell, what it is this about, basically a story. It's not a good story, but it's basically about Hezekiah. You know, he's basically allowing an enemy of God into his home. You know, he allows this home invasion in the name of making peace with the enemy of God. You know, he died and his family was lost to Babylon. You know, and 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 and 21, and we're going to start with 12. At the time, I practiced his name, and I just can't even say it. Bacchacrola, blah, blah, whatever, the son of Bladada, whatever, king of Babylon, sent letters and presents unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and shrone then all the houses of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah shrone them out. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came thou unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have been seen. There is nothing among my treasure that I have not shown them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store upon this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall thy take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, it is not good if peace in turn be in my days. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah in all his might, and how he made a pool and conduit and brought water unto the city, they are not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judea. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers and Messiah and his sons regained in his stead. So there's no doubt after reading the passage that Hezekiah at the end of his life, you know, seemed to first, you know, forget God. He failed God, he forsake God to some extent. Hezekiah also allowed the enemies of God to take over his home, his heritage, his hand-me-downs, and his heart, as we will see, you know, as we've seen. You know, I want to focus on the question that, you know, Isaiah asks Hezekiah in verse 15 when he says, what have thy seen in thy house? That question, it is relevant for this day and age right now. You know, he basically invited a home invasion. And he presented to Hezekiah for, you know, he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. So basically he is an enemy, and Babylon was, you know, was the enemy of God and hated God and God's people. And for this man, you know, this is basically supposed to be a man of God. So he prepared sincere, you know, he hears Hezekiah is sick, and he sends, you know, what appears to be a very sincere letter and told him that he sure hopes he gets to feeling better soon again. So, you know, if you let down your guard, the enemy will appear so sincere and so sweet while you're down, but, you know, his objective is to take over, you know, what you have. So, you know, he dangled that carrot in the form of a present in front of Hezekiah just to gain access to what Hezekiah had been blessed with from God. So here you have it. This is basically the first home invasion, and the way it was done, it was done just the way it's been done from time and time again, with someone that's presenting false gifts just to gain access to your home, to your possessions. And so basically you can go to where in verse 13, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and shewed them all the houses of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor all his dominion that Hezekiah shewed them not. And so not only did the king's son sent, you know, basically a letter, but now it's changed from him to them. You know, he brought basically the whole fury of demons upon him. And basically, you have to understand, what did Hezekiah do? He basically showed him his prized possessions. You know, he basically showed him, you know, the silvers and the gold and the spices, and all, you know, all the, you know, the precious things that was, you know, handed down to him. And we have to understand, like, we're responsible for, you know, like I said, our guarding of the gate, or, you know, we have to make sure that we hold the line and make sure that we, especially in our home, no matter what condition we are, you know, Hezekiah was sick, and, you know, like I said, you know, the enemy is going to attack us the best way they know how, you know, and don't think that by you being down that nobody's going to kick you while you're down. That's the best time for someone to kick you is when you're down. You think they're going to wait for you to get healthy and strong where you can fight back, and they're going to just say, okay, oh, he's ready now. Okay, he's at his peak condition. Now I can attack him. No, they're going to attack you when you're at your weakest. So we have to understand that we, even in our weakest or state or form or physical form or even in sickness, we still can fight back. You know, God has got our back, you know. He makes sure he's going to always put us in a position for not failure but for success. You know, yes, when we get sick and we get weak, you know, there's a minor setback, but he is not, he will never forsake us. So we just can't forget that. And we just can't let our guards down just because that we're sick. Even though we may be physically sick, you know, we're not spiritually sick. And that is the very reason why he asks us to call on to him, to call on for healings, to call on him for many things. You know, we're to call on him, not, you know, no one else. You know, and when I say that, I don't say it loosely. I say call on him, but still go to the doctors if you know that you're sick, or if you have a very bad cold, you know, if you need medical attention. But do call on him, but also go and seek medical attention, yes. God does, he does heal us, but he don't want us to be fools. You know, God, you know, he wants us to be, you know, impactful in our lives. He don't want us to be foolish. Whereas though, you know, we're holding out for something that we can actually do. He don't want us to suffer unneedfully. You know, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, God has me suffering, but are you really suffering? Is it something that you could have prevented from you calling on him saying that God has you suffering? You know, God has every task that he set before us. It is something that we easily can succeed and go on to the knowledge that he is putting forth to us. You know, let's see if I have time. Yeah, I got time. You know, actually, you know, when we go forth in, as far as, you know, gaining knowledge and experience and things of that nature, God makes sure that he sets us up, you know. And when I say that, he sets us up to succeed. You know, at times in our lives, sometimes we may be so fearful that we're not able to, you know, be brave enough to take that step forward or continue on. You know, one of the things that I'm doing now is something I wasn't able to do in the past because it was something that I just couldn't get over as far as, you know, maybe, you know, I won't be successful. Maybe I won't do it the way it's supposed to, or maybe I might get burnt. And I'm talking about in the field of, you know, welding. You know, I'm doing a lot of welding now. I've done a couple of projects, and, you know, one of the things was that it was always offered to me, hey, you want to learn how to weld? No. And it was just for the simple fact that I would, on a small scale, I would, you know, basically I would not weld, I would solder some things. And I seemed to be fine with that. And as far as welding, I was like, well, that's involving a little bit too much fire and it's a little bit too much I think that I can handle. And as time goes on, as I started, you know, working on small projects and the projects started getting bigger and bigger, you know, my fear really was what I wasn't, you know, I didn't have the knowledge of, you know, we have protective equipment. You know, we have the welding helmet, you know, to shield your eyes, also from the sparks. Also, we got welding jackets and welding gloves. And one of the things was when I tried it, I noticed, like, the elements of where I was welding as it was getting hot. I didn't have the proper equipment. I didn't have the proper gloves. I didn't have, you know, the shielded equipment as far as, you know, where I would be protected from the sparks. And it's the same thing, you know, with us. You know, sometimes we do have that fear as we're, you know, when we say, hey, well, I'm going to venture out and I want to do this, or I want to make the Lord, you know, my savior. And some of the things is that we think of is like, well, as soon as I pronounce that, the devil's going to attack me. Yes, he will, but also don't forget that, you know, we can put on the whole armor of the Lord. You know, with that being said, we have to make sure that even though we're making big steps, and yes, you know, like I said, before I even finally, you know, accepted the fact that, you know, even though I'm afraid of doing this, but I have all this protective gear. I have all, you know, I have this, I have that, you know, and, you know, whatever else I can think of. And, you know, from there, I have some measure of protection. And it's the same thing when you, you know, you accept God in your life, you accept Christ in your life, yes, you'll be under attack, but yes, you had the power to call his name and help you fight the battles. And with that being said, I'm going to go into the call of salvation and then quickly do our comments, and then we'll just go ahead and go back to the conclusion of tonight's show. And if you have, haven't been introduced to Christ, you haven't introduced Christ to your life tonight, it's a good night for you to do so. And, you know, one of the ways of welcoming yourself into the kingdom of heaven is by proclaiming that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And once you proclaim that with your lips and you say that out loud, you can find a friend, family member, you tell your parents, you tell your best friends, you can text someone, you can call them, and just let them know, I've turned over a new leaf in life and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. But there I give him all dominion over me, where I hope that from now and forever that I repent my sins and I've accepted the ultimate sacrifice that he gave. He died for our sins. You know, once you say that, you know, you're basically saved, and you can say it in your own words. You know, that's basically starting your own bond with Christ. And you just want to, you know, you just want to do that. You want to, you know, start that initiation when you do that. And the next thing, you know, I suggest you do is find a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that'll nurture you in the word of Christ. You know, we're here broadcasting almost every night that we're able to here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, yes, we do have, you know, our issues where we're not able to, but for the most part, we're here, and we're here for you, and we're praying with you. And we thank you so much for accepting yourself in Christ. And if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello. You can send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We're on Facebook, where you can like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see some of our upcoming shows and our programs and some of our advertisements. We greatly appreciate you for doing that. Also, we'll have upcoming announcements there on our Facebook page, where you can see some of our upcoming lineups and some of our upcoming special shows. And we thank you so much for that. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow night at the 9 p.m. hour. And it's going to be A Little Talk with Jesus. And it's going to be hosted by Evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening. I said the 9 o'clock hour, but it's at the 8 o'clock hour. And it's going to be hosted by Evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison. Please, you know, join us tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. And we thank you so much. And, you know, for those that haven't listened to the beginning of the program, we just want to let everybody know that if you are a T-Mobile or a Metro customer, phone number you can call in is 323-870-4174. And everyone else can call 319-527-6091. And the reason why I'm just making this announcement with the T-Mobile Metro customers is because we're experiencing a messaging system that is saying that you're going to be charged 1 cent a minute. I'm not sure if you're actually going to be charged 1 cent a minute, but to make things easier, you can call into that 323 number, 870-4174. And we thank you and appreciate you for just sticking with us for this brief, you know, moment of uncertainty about the phone numbers. But, you know, just hang in there. We'll constantly give announcements, and we'll let you know what's going on as far as the issue with the phone number. And we hope we can resolve that with God's will. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and we want to return to tonight's program. And tonight's program is titled The Home Invasion. And basically, this is ways our homes can be invaded, and mostly how we can fortify our houses through prayer and spirituality. And one of the things that I said, which is I don't want to go over anyone's head is to make sure that I know your house has been blessed before, but there's nothing wrong with having a pastor or a bishop or someone to come back and re-bless your house because, you know, like you say, you can never have too many blessings. And, you know, I'm not saying a blessing has wore off on your house or anything like that, but, you know, don't forget, when you know, once your house is blessed, you know, that doesn't mean it might not need another blessing again. Just as well as you and your soul, you know, just because you've been baptized don't mean you don't have to be, you know, you don't need to be baptized again. You know, one part of the baptism is being, you know, being washed anew. And I believe, no, I don't have any announcements, but we're going to just go back into where I basically left off at. You just bear with me. I've been trying to not lose my train of thought of where I was at before. So, you know, basically, you know, what I've been talking about the whole night, and just to, you know, wrap things up, you know, Jesus, he's always, you know, said things, and he's always done things, and he's done it in a certain way, and it was basically to instruct us, like, hey, you know, and he was basically setting up his apostles and letting them know, his disciples, and he was letting them know, like, hey, I'm not going to be here, and when I'm not here, you know, you're going to be the ones that's going to be taking up, you know, the leadership mantle where, as though you have to carry, you know, you have to carry on. And they didn't believe him, and they didn't want, you know, saying, oh, well, we don't want that day to happen and things like that. But it all goes back to, you know, when God told, you know, Peter, and was like, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he also told all the other, you know, apostles certain things where, you know, he was trying to get them, he was actually preparing them. And like as he's preparing them for, you know, certain things, you know, we need to do the same thing as far as our house. We need to make sure that we have our house prepared. We need to know that everybody's on the same page as far as, you know, some of the protocols and some of the things that we want to do when we're on the air. And I do got a caller. I'm gonna get our caller in real quickly. All right, so we're gonna get our caller in. All right. Praise the Lord.
Good evening. What up, what up, what up?
All right, what up?
Yeah, how are you doing this evening, Brother Rob?
I cannot complain at all. I'm just happy to be on the air tonight.
I just wanted to come in and make a comment because I was listening to you, and I heard something, and then I said, oh, I need to say something. Somebody might be out there, and they might be listening to this. And I understand about blessing the house. And the problem is, well, it shouldn't be a problem. Look, it's not a problem, but God forbid you don't have the pastor, or God forbid you don't know somebody that's coming. What we are trying to do is we're trying to really say that you can do it yourself. If you come real and you be real, I just wanted to put that out there because you do need to bless it. But God knows
right.
that sometimes we can all own up on our blessings. And if we, you know, you can bless your children before they leave the house. You know, you can bless
right.
your family to make sure that your family is good. I was just saying that you don't, you know, I understand that the pastor is good to do, but if you don't have a pastor, you can bless your house.
That's so true. That is so true. Thank you so much for that, Adrian, because, yeah, I didn't put that out there. And I guess we'll be seeing you on the air soon, I believe, probably this coming Monday. Okay, so that was Adrian Allen, and that was just talking, and Adrian Misunderstandings Allen, and she's part of V Block Church, and also Let's Talk About It, along with Sister Janice, Sister Tyleen, and that was Sister Adrian right there. And as I was saying, she's part of Let's Talk About It, and I thank her so much for that comment. And as she was saying, yes, you know, you can bless your own home, You don't have to, you know, if a pastor or, you know, a man of God or a woman of God is not available, you know, you can bless your own home. And as she was saying, that she commented that, you know, if you're about your business as far as with your Father in heaven, you know, you can go ahead and do it yourself. You know, we got all this do-it-yourself things. And so, yes, you can bless your house, you know, and that's not just keep it there. You can bless your workplace and your vehicle. Don't forget, you know, when we travel outside our home, you know, we do need a prayer of protection. Because once we leave the house, you know, there's no telling, like, you know, unwillingly or unwittingly bring something back into our home where, you know, it could be disruptive, basically. And with that being said, just want to let everybody know that it's a pleasure broadcasting tonight. We'll be on the air next this upcoming second Friday with Self Expressions, the sports edition. And feel free to join in as we deal with sports issues in a spiritual atmosphere. I'd like to thank everybody for participating, whether you're calling online or via phone. Thank you so much for your support, not only for my show, but for Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, I'd like to thank each and every one of the foreign countries that are diligently listening to us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, not just Self-Expressions, but all the other, you know, programs that we have here. And as I say, we continue to, you know, strengthen our influence of being able to broadcast every day. You know, we all don't have, you know, those great sunny days that we wish we have, but, you know, we do appreciate the days we do have. You know, like I said, I thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Thank you for listening for tonight's show. Like I said, I'll see you the second Friday of this month, and it's going to be Self-Expressing Sports Edition. Thank you, everyone. And with that being said, deuces, good night, and have a good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.